I want you to imagine an object that is probably sitting like less than 100 feet away from you right now.
Right.
Or, at least it is whenever you walk into your office. It's massive. It's usually some totally uninspiring shade of beige or gray.
Yeah, that classic office gray.
Exactly. And it occasionally just beeps at you with this completely cryptic error code, or, it demands more toner right when you're late for a
Call
meeting.
always knows when you're in a hurry.
It really does.
Yep.
But yeah, it is, of course, the humble office copier
Yeah.
or the multifunction printer, the MFP, whatever your IT department calls it.
Right.
And for most of us, it is arguably the most boring, unglamorous piece of equipment in our daily professional lives. You probably don't give it a single thought until the exact moment it jams.
Which is, frankly, what makes it the absolute perfect place to hide a financial trap.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. We obsess over the devices we actually find interesting, right? We track the battery life on our smartphones. We monitor the processing speed of our laptops.
Right, our cloud storage usage, all of that.
Exactly. But the copier, we just want the paper to come out.
Yeah.
And because nobody is actively paying attention, this entire multi-million dollar industry has been able to quietly optimize its profit model at the direct expense of the buyer. Most organizations are participating in a very lopsided game without even realizing they're on the board.
Well, the mission of this deep dive is to completely dismantle the illusion behind that game. We want to take you inside the hidden mechanics of the commercial copier industry so that, you never get taken advantage of in a vendor relationship again.
Yeah, it's super important stuff.
It really is. And we're pulling all of this from a fascinating buyer protection briefing. It was put together by Elk Keatsman, who is the president of Copier Consulting,
Yeah.
which is an advocacy practice out in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Right.
And what actually triggered him to write this specific briefing is just incredible. It started with a piece of junk mail. Well, a highly polished, glossy marketing brochure from a regional copier dealer.
Yeah, a brochure titled "The Real Cost of Aging Equipment." It's exactly the kind of slick, fear-inducing marketing material that routinely lands on the desk of, like, an office manager or a school administrator. It highlights all the supposed dangers of holding onto your machine.
Like what kind of dangers?
Oh, productivity losses, security risks, hardware failure. They just lay out all the reasons why you absolutely need to upgrade your equipment right now.
Wow.
And the central hook, the big selling point they lead with, is that modern devices are engineered to deliver vastly faster, more reliable performance.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because reading that in the source material is exactly where my brain stalled out.
Yeah.
If modern equipment is supposedly engineered to be this bulletproof, reliable technology, I mean, why in the world is that exact same dealer pushing buyers to upgrade that equipment prematurely?
Right.
If a machine is built to be incredibly reliable, shouldn't the logical outcome be that it just lasts much longer? It feels like this massive logical contradiction sitting right there in plain text.
Oh, it is a total contradiction. And honestly, spotting it is the first step in understanding how this industry's operational model actually functions.
Okay.
They aren't optimizing for the physical, mechanical lifespan of the hardware sitting in your hallway. They are optimizing for their own internal sales cycles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the entire narrative surrounding aging equipment is largely just a constructed myth. It's designed to make the buyer feel a sense of operational anxiety, so that they sign a new lease.
So to really wrap our heads around how this works, we have to look at the massive disconnect between how these machines actually age, mechanically speaking, versus how they're sold to you.
Exactly.
And this brings up what seems to be the biggest, best-kept secret in the entire industry, the profound difference between the calendar and the counter.
Yes, this is all about the preventive maintenance schedule, or the PM schedule.
Right.
Every single major manufacturer, whether you're looking at a Canon, a Ricoh, a Xerox, or a Konica Minolta, they all publish highly detailed technical specifications for how their machines must be maintained.
Because they're complex machines.
Right. They engineer these devices to run tens of millions of impressions over many, many years. So they mandate PM schedules that dictate exactly when specific internal components need to be replaced to keep the machine running smoothly.
But the crucial detail here is how they measure that schedule, right? It has absolutely nothing to do with time.
Nothing at all.
I mean, the manufacturer doesn't care if the machine has been sitting in a humid basement for 2 years or a sunny office for four. Those PM schedules are based exclusively on page volume,
Yes.
impressions printed, the mechanical counter.
And what's fascinating here is how entirely disconnected the engineering reality is from the financial reality.
How do you mean?
Well, a 36, 48, or 60-month lease is a purely financial construct. It's just invented by humans to structure a payment plan.
Right.
The machine itself doesn't know what a lease is. It has no concept of a calendar year. It only knows physical friction. It only knows how many pages have been physically pushed through its internal rollers.
And the briefing gives a brilliantly clear example of this. So, picture a local church.
Okay.
They lease a commercial copier, and they run maybe 3,000 impressions a month, mostly just printing Sunday bulletins.
Sure.
Now, picture a busy public school district. They lease the exact same make and model of copier, but because it's a school, they are churning out 45,000 impressions a month.
Right. Way more volume.
Physically, mechanically, those two machines are existing on completely different timelines.
Oh, entirely different universes of wear and tear.
Yeah.
I mean, the school's machine is taking on 15 times the physical friction.
Right. But because the copier industry operates on a calendar-based sales cycle, both the church and the school are going to receive the exact same phone call from their sales rep at the 48-month mark.
Yep.
The dealer's going to sit down with that church director and say, you know, hey, your machine is getting old, it's aging, we really need to look at an upgrade so you don't face any sudden reliability issues.
Exactly. And because buyers generally just don't know the difference between the calendar and the mechanical counter, they panic.
They trust the expert.
Right. They trust the expert sitting across from them. The financial consequences of that knowledge gap flow in only one direction, straight to the seller.
Wow.
The seller gets to tear up the old contract, write a new lease, lock in a new multi-year term, and move another piece of hardware.
Mm.
Completely ignoring the fact that the church's machine has probably only used about, 10% of its engineered lifespan.
It's basically like returning a leased car to the dealership after 5 years, and the dealer looks at you with a grave expression and says, look, the engine on this thing is a liability. It's completely shot. We need to get you into a new model.
Right.
Meanwhile, you only drove the car down the street to the grocery store once a week. It has 4,000 miles on the odometer.
Yeah, it's basically a new car.
Exactly. But they are actively judging the car's health by the calendar on the wall, not the actual mechanical wear and tear.
That's exactly how it works.
Wait, if the machine sitting in that church is effectively still a new engine, and the church has been paying a monthly service and maintenance fee for 4 straight years, where did that money actually go?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, if the machine didn't need major repairs, what happened to the funds? We really need to follow the money here.
And this is where the structural trap really closes on the buyer. Because when you sign a copier lease, you also sign a service agreement.
Right.
Every service agreement in this industry is priced to include the cost of parts and labor for all of those scheduled preventive maintenance milestones we just talked about.
Okay.
You are literally prepaying for the physical parts that will eventually wear out.
What kind of parts are we talking about here?
Highly engineered components. Fusers, for instance.
Fusers?
Yeah. A fuser is the part of the printer that literally uses heat and pressure to melt the toner powder into the paper. It gets incredibly hot. And over hundreds of thousands of pages, the thermal elements degrade.
Oh, that makes sense.
There are also feed rollers, which are rubber grips that pull the paper in.
Hmm.
Over time, the rubber loses its texture. There are transfer belts and developer units.
Okay. So lots of moving parts.
Exactly. These aren't just arbitrary widgets. They are physical objects that wear down based on exact, predictable impression counts. And your monthly service fee is funding the eventual replacement of those specific parts.
So it's essentially a prepaid maintenance account.
Right.
I'm paying into a pot of money so that when my machine hits, say, 200,000 pages and needs a new fuser, the part is already paid for.
Precisely. Now, imagine what happens when a buyer, like our hypothetical church, is convinced by a slick brochure to upgrade at month 48.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They haven't even come close to the impression volume that would trigger the replacement of those expensive fusers or transfer belts.
Right.
When they upgrade prematurely, they are leaving massive amounts of unused prepaid maintenance dollars sitting on the table. Dollars they paid in for physical parts and labor that were never rendered.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because those dollars do not just vanish into thin air.
Nope.
I'm reading the brief here, and it outlines what the dealer actually does next. They take that aging machine, the one they just told you was a liability, back into their inventory.
Right.
And then they recondition it. They refurbish it. And how do they fund that refurbishment? They use the prepaid maintenance dollars from your original contract to swap in all the new fusers and rollers.
It's wild, isn't it?
It is. And then they turn right around and sell that newly refurbished machine to the next buyer on the secondary market.
It is a perfectly closed loop system of profit. I mean, the buyer pays for a full life cycle of service. The buyer is pressured to abandon the hardware early based on an artificial calendar conversation.
Yeah.
The dealer takes back a perfectly good, low-mileage machine, fixes it up using the exact funds the buyer unknowingly left behind, and then monetizes the hardware all over again.
But hold on. I have a hard time believing that every local copier dealer is actively plotting to scam a church or a small business out of their maintenance fees.
Sure, but it sounds sinister.
Right. Like, is this really a malicious, twirling mustache scenario? Or is it just a profoundly broken system? If a technician is coming out to fix a machine that keeps jamming, isn't the machine actually broken?
Well, it's not necessarily a grand malicious conspiracy. It's a system optimized for sales rather than prevention.
Okay.
It's entirely about deferred maintenance. Many dealers operate service models that are strictly optimized for symptom response.
Symptom response.
Yeah. If you call them because there's a paper jam, a technician comes out, clears the jam, wipes the scanner glass, and leaves. What they often aren't doing is proactively checking the impression counter and saying, ah, the machine is at 195,000 pages. The fuser is scheduled to be replaced at 200,000. Let's swap it now before it fails.
So they just wait for it to break?
Yes. They defer the expensive proactive maintenance. And what happens when you defer maintenance?
It breaks down more.
Exactly. The machine starts acting up, it jams more frequently, the print quality drops. The office manager gets incredibly frustrated because the machine is always broken.
I see.
And that frustration creates the absolute perfect emotional environment for a sales rep to swoop in, point to the calendar, and say, well, looks like this old girl is finally giving up the ghost. It's time for an upgrade.
Wow. So by failing to perform the preventive maintenance I've already paid for, they are essentially creating the symptoms of an aging machine.
Yes.
They manufacture the disease and then sell me the cure in the form of a brand new 5-year lease.
Which is exactly why understanding the mechanism is so vital. If you don't know how the machine operates, you only see the symptoms.
Okay, so let's get practical here. Let's say I'm an office manager. It's tomorrow morning. The copy rep is sitting across my desk, sliding a glossy brochure toward me, telling me my machine is a liability and we need to upgrade.
Right.
I don't know how to install a fuser. I'm not a technician. How do I actually respond? Do I just accuse them of not fixing it?
Oh, no. You don't need to accuse anyone of anything. You changed the entire power dynamic by asking them to document the liability. Al Kietzman outlines a specific defense strategy using 3 questions. And the golden rule here is that you must demand the answers to these questions in writing. A verbal assurance means absolutely nothing.
Got it. So what's the first thing I ask?
You look at the rep and ask, has this device received every scheduled preventive maintenance it was entitled to under our service agreement?
Oh, I see. So instead of arguing about whether the machine is old, I'm asking for the diagnostic logs.
Yes.
It's like having a mechanic try to sell me a whole new car engine, and I just ask them to pull the service records proving they ever actually changed the oil.
Exactly. It forces immediate accountability. Because if the machine has been jamming and the dealer has to admit in writing that they never replaced the feed roller kit that was mechanically due 30,000 impressions ago, their entire narrative collapses.
Wow.
You are no longer looking at an equipment failure due to age. You are looking at a documented service failure due to dealer negligence. The machine isn't broken. The contract just wasn't honored.
That completely shifts the leverage. Okay, what if they did do the maintenance, but they're claiming the machine is just too old to find parts for anymore?
That leads to the second question. You ask, was this model discontinued by the manufacturer? And exactly what month and year was that sunset notice established?
Wait, what exactly is a sunset notice?
Well, manufacturers eventually retire older platforms to make way for new technology.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's completely normal. But when they do, the supply chain fundamentally changes. Replacement parts become harder to find, and third-party supplies dry up. The manufacturer sends a formal sunset notice to all their dealers the exact moment this decision is made.
Ah, okay.
The dealers know exactly when a machine is entering its end-of-life phase. The problem is they frequently withhold this information from the buyer. They will happily let a buyer renew a long-term service agreement on a machine they know will soon be incredibly difficult to repair.
Which sets up the third question perfectly. Once they admit the date of the sunset notice, you ask, why didn't you inform us?
Exactly. This raises an important question about business transparency. If the dealer knew the supply chain was shrinking, or they knew the PM schedule wasn't being followed, and they sat across from you 6 months ago and negotiated a contract renewal while withholding that information, why?
Yeah.
When you ask that question and demand the justification in writing, the atmosphere in the room completely changes. They are suddenly forced to defend a business decision they made on your behalf in secret that only benefited their bottom line.
Because up until the moment you asked those questions, they were operating on the assumption that you were entirely blind to the mechanics.
Exactly.
The power dynamic in this industry relies on asymmetric information. They know the PM schedule, they know the impression counter, they have the sunset notices, and they just assume the buyer knows none of it.
Right.
But the moment you start tracking your own impression counters, the moment you proactively submit a written request for scheduled preventative maintenance based on your volume, you flip the script, you erase the asymmetry.
It is remarkable how quickly dealer behavior adapts. When a dealer realizes they are dealing with an informed buyer who tracks data and documents service histories, responsiveness magically improves.
My bad.
The missing PM suddenly gets scheduled. The quality of the technicians dispatched to your office goes up. Not because the dealer had a sudden moral awakening, but because the structural advantage they relied on has completely evaporated.
So, if the antidote is this logical, track your counter, demand your PMs in writing, why has the market corrected itself? Why has this systemic trap persisted for decades?
Because of the structural reality of the modern workplace and just a massive lack of oversight. Think about the person who's actually signing these Compeer contracts. It's rarely a dedicated procurement officer with a background in hardware life cycles. It's a nonprofit director. It's an office administrator juggling 10 different job duties, managing HR, ordering supplies, putting out daily
Yeah,
fires.
they're busy.
They are fighting a battle they don't even know they are in against a dealer representative who studies and negotiates complex Compeer contracts 40 hours a week, all year long.
That is a huge mismatch.
And on top of that, the commercial copier industry operates with virtually zero federal regulatory oversight. There is no agency mandating that dealers disclose PM schedules or sunset notices. They operate freely in a gray area that regulations simply hasn't touched.
Which brings us back to Al Kietzman and why he built Copier Consulting in the first place. His background really makes him the perfect person to decode this.
Oh, absolutely.
He spent 15 years on the vendor side. He was trained by the machine. He knows every sales tactic, every contract loophole, every leverage point, and then he completely pivoted.
Yeah.
For the last 15 years, he has worked exclusively as a buyer-side advocate. No commissions from dealers, no kickbacks from manufacturers, just pure vendor-neutral representation.
And he developed a suite of solutions specifically designed to counter this asymmetry. The primary entry point is something called the Copier Buyer Session. It's a 90-minute live Zoom consultation for a flat fee of $599.
So, what does this all mean for a small business or a school? Because I have to be honest, usually the instinct to bring in an outside consultant feels like throwing more money at a problem.
Sure.
You're paying a fee in the mere hope of saving a fee. But the source text outlines a mechanism called the independent finance secret that completely upends that logic. If I'm understanding this right, the alternative financing alone covers the cost of a session before they even look at your maintenance schedule.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it changes how buyers should view capital expenditure. Dealers almost always push buyers into leases managed by their own captive finance arms or heavily preferred leasing partners.
Wait, what is a captive finance arm?
It's essentially a bank or lending institution owned by or deeply partnered with the dealer or manufacturer. They aren't just selling you the physical box, they are acting as the bank, lending you the money to buy the box.
Oh, I see.
And because they control the entire transaction, those interest rates are rarely competitive. During that $599 session, Copier Consulting introduces independent third-party financing alternatives. They bypass the captive finance arm entirely.
Wow.
The rate differentials between the dealer's preferred lease and these independent options are routinely so large that the interest savings alone immediately offset the $599 consulting fee.
That's incredible. It's not really a consulting cost. It's an immediate return on investment. And that's before they even begin to analyze your PM schedule or strip out the toxic auto-renewal language hiding in the fine print of your service agreement.
Precisely. And for larger organizations that need more intensive help, they offer full engagements where their fee is simply 33% of the documented gross savings, meaning the client keeps 67% of the money saved, and if there are no savings, there's no fee.
And we aren't talking about small change here. The briefing notes that they have documented over $7 million in gross savings since 2010.
Yeah, it's massive.
The historical savings for their clients range from 18% to 58% on their contracts. That is a massive amount of phantom dollars being successfully reclaimed. It really proves just how bloated and rigged the standard leasing model is if an independent consultant can find that much fat to trim.
And even for buyers who prefer to handle things internally, Keatsman provides self-serve tools. He created the Copier Buyer Guide at copierbuyerguide.com and a Substack newsletter called the Copier Fine Print Report.
How nice.
It is a steady, continuous drip of the exact technical training and contractual language that the industry desperately hopes you never learn.
Which really highlights the core philosophy of this whole deep dive. Knowledge is only power when you actually apply it. We talked earlier about how this isn't necessarily a malicious conspiracy.
Right.
The copier industry doesn't require cartoon villain intent to operate this way. It simply relies on a system where nobody on the seller's side has any financial incentive to educate the buyer.
Exactly.
It's a massive financial machine running smoothly on its own momentum. Copier consulting was built specifically to introduce friction to that machine, acting as the advocate that the market structurally forgot to create.
Exactly. You are separating the machine's actual health from the dealer's financial timeline. Mm. The calendar on the wall is for their profit. The mechanical counter inside the machine is for your protection.
So let's distill all of this down to its absolute essence. The prevailing narrative that a five-year-old copier is automatically a liability is a carefully constructed myth. It is a sales tactic.
Yep.
The actual mechanical life of a device is determined by physical page volume, the counter, and proactive preventive maintenance, not the expiration date printed on a financial lease.
It is a critical audit of how you operate. Whenever the person selling you the cure is also the person defining the disease, you have to demand the raw mechanical data.
And I want to connect this directly to you, the listener, because even if you aren't the director of a church or the facilities manager of a public school,
right,
even if you never sign a commercial copier lease in your entire life, this framework applies universally. Think about every bundled service agreement you interact with.
Oh.
Your smartphone upgrade plan, your car lease,
yeah,
your software subscriptions. Anywhere that a life cycle is opaque and the maintenance is conveniently bundled into a monthly fee, you have to ask yourself, are you passively trusting the vendor's timeline? Or are you tracking the actual metrics of usage? Who really holds the information advantage in your vendor relationships?
It's really about recognizing when you're playing a game where the rules haven't been fully explained to you.
Which leaves us with one final provocative thought to chew on. We've just spent this deep dive exploring how an entire multi-million dollar industry successfully built its profit model on the incredibly simple, completely mundane assumption that you will never bother to check a mechanical counter. They literally banked on your boredom. So look around your professional life. Look closely at your personal expenses. What other invisible counters are quietly ticking away in the background right now, entirely unmonitored by you, that are dictating the financial decisions you make every single day?